Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My, we have a long-term relationship. Great thing as a show evolves and you start to evolve yourself in relationship to your audience is that even though you're here by yourself, and in a sense you're talking to no one, you're really talking to everyone in a very intimate way. Years ago, and to this day, I did so much talking publicly. It was a different forum. When I hit radio a couple of years ago, those first number of months, you're sitting there and you're by yourself and you're looking at nature, and it's a whole different kind of a ride. But what happens over time, as you start to develop relationships with your audience, even if you've never met them, and you realize that despite the fact that you don't see them, they're really there. That may sound counterintuitive, but over the last 75 shows, when I do a show now, I really see you, and your comments help. So keep those comments coming. We've got hundreds of them by now. I read them all, and it helps materialize you for me. Thus the show today on the skin. I haven't done a show on the skin and the eyes and the ears, et cetera, because there's central concepts with them, but a lot of the information with certain subjects is factual. It's tidbitty. There are less central concepts. So when I created this show today for the skin, a part of it's just facts that you got to know, that you pick up along the way, and then there's the concepts. So this show is a little bit different in its format on that basis, that a lot of it's factual. It's quick. You need to know what you need to know, but there's not a lot to say after that. And then the other stuff are concepts I guarantee you are going to stretch you. So today's show on the skin, and of course, my greatest pain, or one of them, are people that come in and they give me a list of symptoms from A to Z, and a lot of them are serious. And yet, when I ask them what their chief concern is, it's the skin. And that's, in a sense, why I evolved not focusing on the skin, because how important is your skin? Well, as a doctor, what you realize, and this is what I want to say to you, and so put your caps on now. The last place your body is going to send priority is the skin. It's the periphery. It's the layer that contacts the outside. And on that basis, if the body's got to reserve its energy, it's not going to go to the skin. The sexual function is the same way. The sexual energy is the cream of the energy. It's the cream of the crop. So if your body's got more important things to do, which generally it does, the last place it's concerned about is the sexual energy. It's the same thing for the skin. Same thing. At the same time, the skin is the barrier, or it's the interface with the outside world. So it's got an incredibly important role in the defense of the biofield. Okay, so we're going to start languages now that I hope many of you are familiar with. That energy field around the body emits off the skin from the core through the skin and beyond the skin, you have a magnetic field surrounding the body. So, for reasons we'll get into, when the magnetic field around the skin depresses, when it falls back, you're open to attack. Pathogenic attack, microbial attack, chemical attack, free radical attack, when I mean chemical attack. We're going to tie this in later with skin cancers, basal cell, melanoma, squamous cell, warts, molds, this, that, funguses, etc. There's a defensive layer around the skin that is beyond the biochemistry that derives from patency or integrity in certain core systems. Some of them are biochemical and some of them are biophysical. That's a big concept. We're going to get into that later. Here's something you know. You know that the kidney is really the skin, and the skin is really the third kidney. The skin is the third kidney. What comes out in your urine will come out in your skin. The kidney removes water-soluble poisons. So not pesticides, not pesticides. A pesticide is lipophilic, meaning that it's got to get conjugated in the liver and go out through the bile ducts. But many, many, many chemicals, and many chemicals that we just make with the cell, urea, uric acid, these things will go out through the urine or they'll come out through the skin. When you sweat, you're urinating. There's a concept. When you sweat, you're urinating. Do you sweat through the skin? We'll get into that later. Because if you're not sweating, something's wrong. And again, this ties into some of these concepts in the last 100 years, like sweating's gross. Like women that sweat, that they drip sweat when they do a spin class, are embarrassed because that's not ladylike. No, that is ladylike. Concept there, you're on your platform 10-inch shoes. You're covered in all these toxic perfumes. You're constipated because the act of defecation is kind of like embarrassing to you. You would never think of sweating, even though you know exercise is so important. Think about it. From the shoes to the necklaces to the bras that are too tight to the platform shoes to the inability to sweat. You keep it in. When you keep it in, where do you think it's going to come out eventually? If you don't let it out one way or the other way, it's going to come out your skin. That skin is the third kidney. If you congest your liver, if you congest your kidney, if you congest your lymph, if every normal portal of exit, including breath, from the body is congested and clogged, and you're just filling yourself with poisons, it's going to come out your skin. And if you've got that nice oily skin, if you're high testosterone, if you're high estrogen, and you've been blessed with that oil, all that garbage coming out your skin, because it's not coming out the other ways, is going to turn into acne, rashes, terrains, areas on your body that are perfect for the growth of warts and funguses and skin tags and all these things that we consider disgusting and that we want to zap off with electronic appliances. So first concept, that's exciting to me. What's not exciting to me is when somebody asks me, I've got this little mark on my skin here. What do you think it is? And what can you give me to get rid of it? I mean, I understand it. I can relate to it. But the bottom line is that the health of the skin is from the inside. Now, we're going to get hopefully a little bit into these skin serums and glycolic acid and things that hold more collagen and put more collagen in and things that hold more water in the skin and et cetera, et cetera. And it's not that these things aren't good. Why? Because the skin absorbs from the outside. beautifully. We have to take advantage of that. You can't get to your heart. You can't get to your kidney. You can't get to your pancreas. It's buried. But you can get to your skin. That's an asset. And that's an asset you have to capitalize on. And we'll get into that today. But I don't care what you do through the exterior of the skin. You've got to work the interior. So yes, the skin is the largest organ in the body. And yes, wrinkles are terrible things, and so are skin tags and warts. And yes, hopefully there's some magical cure for them all, but we want you to go underneath. So first concept, it shouldn't be on the skin. Your skin shouldn't be burdened with the responsibility of throwing off and throwing out all this garbage that should come out through your biliary system, through your kidneys. So if you've got chronic skin problems and you've been through the issue of, doctor, what can you give me for this, pharmaceutically or herbally? And you haven't lucked out, and I call it luck, because a lot of times you got to be lucky to just get that quick fix. But if you haven't gotten the quick fix, first concept, clean the kidneys. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. I've got lots of subscribers now. Lots of people are buying all the shows I ever did, and from the time you buy, 1 year worth of those shows. It's like 20 cents a show. It's a good deal. If you study those shows, we can talk better. Because as I said at the beginning of the show, I am talking to you, even though I can't see you. Interesting thing, radio. So, first concept. If you've got chronic skin issues, get off this fixation about the topical approach. Clean it through the kidneys. I don't want to belabor kidney cleanses today. There's lots of information on them. Clean the kidney. The bowels. If you're constipated, water, salt, oil, magnesium from adrenaline, from good sleep, your kind of fiber. If you're not exercising and pooping a couple of times a day, defecating, it'll come out your skin. First and foremost, the skin is the exit for the kidney, water-soluble poison. But more than that, it's the exit for everything. The body's going to find a way, and it doesn't care about your vanity. So you must be defecating regularly. Then, of course, there's the biliary system. If you're not seeing the bile flow, enough said. It's going to come out your skin. The lymph. The lymph. Move the body. That's all I want to say today. Hot, cold therapies. The use of those wonderful clays that Premier Research makes. Not to use them in the normal sense, but just to put them on the hands and the feet and the neck. And maybe one day try your head. Just to use them in the general medicinal way. To excite, initiate, embellish, intensify the skin as an exit portal. Take the toxic load off the liver, off the kidneys, and move your lymph. Enough said, first concept. Clean the inside. Now, here's the big one. Big concept, you're not going to hear it in too many places. Just as we say the skin is a third kidney, there is another organ that the skin is connected to that's even more important. But it's not connected biochemically. It's connected energetically. But we're going to turn that word energetically into reality. Otherwise, we're all going to sit around in a group and smile and say, that sounds groovy. But in the trenches, it doesn't mean anything. I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, a very nice woman came in, and she had flown all the way in from another state. And she had had about 10 different incidences of skin cancer. Skin cancer. Everything from melanoma to squamous cell to basal cell. I mean, it was incredible. And I looked at her body, and I looked at the way she was built. Now, catch this. And I said, Mary, I said, really, the reason you've developed so much issue with your skin over the years. Now, mind you, this is a woman that has taken magnificent care of her health. She spent good money on all these nutritional solutions. Not a smoker, drinker, doesn't burn it at both ends, takes care of herself. Looks good. But she'd had all this skin cancer of different varieties, including melanoma. And I said to her, Mary, the root of your issues with skin cancer, the root is in your lung. Your lung. And the root in your lung is connected to your childhood. And your childhood is connected to an upbringing where you became severely grief-stricken. This happens in my office a lot because this is how you practice medicine functionally. And of course, she began to tear up. And this was the first, say, 10 minutes of the meeting. And she began to emit and talk, and it hit her. Because when you tell people something about themselves that's true, it goes inside. You can see it. Talk to the soul. Now that's medicine. If you're not doing that with your doctor, with your counselor, you're not having medicine performed. Medicine is to teach to the soul. So here's this moment now, and of course, what's behind it? To say that a history of melanoma and basal cell and squamous cell is related to grief and the lung? Well, consider this. What are the two organs in the body, the skin being one of them, that are exposed to the outside air? And there's your connection. It's the skin and the lung. The lung hits the outside air through the bronchioles. The skin hits it a little more directly. But the two, distinct as organs, are interfacing. They're drinking the environment. There's the connection. You can call it theoretical. It's not theoretical. It is a functional concept. Now, how it translates into hard clinical observation is as follows. If the lung collapses, and I'm talking about people with shallow chests, people who are depressed through the chest area, the upper chest, just between the low part of the neck and the sternum, that area is depressed. It's caved in. These people almost invariably will suffer in a grief-stricken way. But we're all on this bandwagon to some extent. The point is, if breath, which includes the lung, perfuses correctly, if breath has integrity, okay, another sentence that we can all shake our heads at, but does it mean anything? Check the show, The Power of Breath. I did it about 4 weeks ago. Breath that you take that begins to create a release in the body, the flow of energy, a warm flush through breath, through the nose. Critical. If breath has integrity, the lung will send out a magnetic field sufficient to organize all the chemicals in the skin. Say that again. If the breath has integrity, the lung, which is so much a part of breath, will deliver a magnetic field that will extend itself outside the body and to the skin. the lung will milk the skin. Excuse me, backwards. The skin will milk the lung. The skin will feed off the lung. And the lung will feed off breath. Well, that should mean something to some of you. If it doesn't, that's understandable. It's completely understandable. But it's unforgivable that in holistic medicine, we haven't made this tangible. I'll say it a different way. Does your skin breathe? Does it breathe? Have you ever noticed when you eat right, you sleep right, you dry brush the skin, you exercise, you get your skin touched, there's a circulation to the skin. And it's not just blood. It's energy. Have any of you ever gone through that process where the skin seems to start to come to life? Certainly those of you who have gone from the non-sweat state to the sweat state. Those of you who formerly have never sweat and then through some holistic process begin to sweat know what it's like to activate the skin. Take that activation of the skin as a semblance of what it means to have the skin begin to breathe. To understand it in terms of breath is more complicated. Thus the show I did on the power of breath and some of the claims that I made about what happens to the body, what you feel in your body when your breath opens up. Opening of the diaphragm. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it meant to Pavarotti. I'll tell you what it meant to Caruso. I'll tell you what it meant to any successful gospel singer. Oh, but they're musicians. They're singers. I get that. No, you see, what singers learn, what people who have to bring it up from the belly into the diaphragm, into the lung, bellow out, what they learn in that process. Talk to them. At your church, anyone that sings beautifully that's had formal training will understand what it is to open the diaphragm. That's exactly what my show on the power of breath was about, really. It was about opening the diaphragm. But if you do open the diaphragm, you'll bring to the skin a magnetic field that will protect it. Well, it's all out there in Alice in Wonderland until a middle-aged woman comes into your office with a collapsed lung field and three different types of lung tumors grown over a period of 40 years, inexplicable to everybody else, and has her life, in a sense, read back to her within the first 10 minutes of a visit. So this really isn't intangible. This is the reality of the body, and you have to understand and thank yourself for being so far ahead of the curve, because this show is so far ahead of the curve. This will be medicine. Sooner or later, someone's going to invent a machine that every physicist, and therefore every chemist, is going to nod their heads in agreement on, and it's going to measure your electrical fields. And we're working towards that. I think the holistic people are sort of thinking they're working towards it, and in reality, I think they'll be squashed ultimately by hard science, because hard science understands biophysics is here to stay. And once we take one more or two more jumps in technology, things like the field around your lung or around your kidney, the depressed field because your emotions are static in grief and it takes out the lung, in anger and it takes out the liver, in sadness and it takes out the heart, in fear and it takes out the kidney. This will be standard medicine. Okay, let's spin it backwards. Skin, your cosmetic concerns, forget them for a moment. Clean the kidney. Get yourself sweating. Make sure you're defecating. Make sure you have biliary patency. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Get on those shows. Scan the 75 hours. Pick the show you want and review so we can get to the higher plane together. Aside from those organs, I just mentioned, there's an energetic concern. It's called the lung. Get to know what breath means. Get to know what it is to have the skin begin to breathe. To make it breathe, get into dry brushing the skin. We'll talk about that. Once the skin is breathing, once you have a perception of what it means, a visceral experience about the skin coming to life, now you're going to start to extend the magnetic field to the skin. Which is going to do what? To those free radicals that are hitting it all the time. Which is going to do what? To those antioxidants, dihydrolipoic acid, NeuroND, CoQ10, propolis, all the flavonoids for the skin, all the antioxidants for the skin, they're not even going to get there if the magnetic field doesn't bring them there. Oops. Get this. Another concept. What do I do for my skin to prevent the free radical damage from the sun, from the work environment, from life in general, from the radiation I'm being exposed to all the time in front of the computer, on the job, working with power tools? What do I do to turn back the free radical damage as it relates to my skin? There's no shortage of solutions for that. You know where to get the best quality, and that's Premier Research. That's Dr. Marshall's wonderful contribution, one of the many. So you know where to get product. But let's make more real this concept that if you don't have the magnetic field extending to the skin, again, extending to the skin, that field will be most concentrated closer to the spine. In the spinal cord and in the brain is the higher concentration that extends outward through the soma, through the mesenchyme, through the muscle, through the meat, through the material of your body, from spinal cord emitting out. Does it make it to the skin? Does it get there? Does the magnetic field get to the outer layer? And if it does, those antioxidants will be organized to quench, to squash the free radicals. So if you're looking for free radical, if you're looking for scavenger neutralization, if you're looking to stop the bad stuff that hits the skin from growing cancers and funguses on your skin, and you're ingesting nutrition from food to herb to nutraceutical, it won't get there unless the magnetic field carries it. The magnetic field needs to carry the nutrition to the skin. I'll say it a different way. The biophysics, the biofield, controls the biochemistry. That's big. That's worth the price of tea in China, as they say. But what does that mean to you? It means you better feel that skin come to life. Write it down, and over the next year, put it on that checklist. Remember we did the checklist? The physical exam you should have had? It's about 3 or 4 shows back. The ignition, the initiation of the life and breath of the skin. If the lungs breathe, the skin breathes. To know that feeling is to begin to turn the biophysical jargon, this goofy stuff that you don't want to tell your friends about, into something real. Not to mention what it's going to do for your skin. Okay, so you get depressed and you catch a cold. You got depressed and you caught a cold. Why? You got the cold. The cold came into you. The virus, the bacteria, the whatever. It came to you. Why? Because the depression hits the lung. And once it hits the lung, the biofield to the exterior begins to depress. And there's the root of your cold. So definitely, from this day on, understand the skin is reflecting the inside of the body. Here's a little quick one that we're not going to belabor today. But if you don't have biliary patency, if you don't do the flushes and see the bile, if you don't do the coffee enemas and see the bile, rest assured you're not digesting your fats. Not in a way that's going to send them to your skin. Every one of us, by the age of 40, has to go through the process where we develop biliary patency, where that skin starts to emoliate. In other words, the skin begins to get oily. You have to say that. You see, you can go onto any show or any YouTube or any internet and listen to all the talk about a gallbladder flush. But what I'm not going to stop pounding into you is the fact that it's hard to find someone to tell you, above and beyond this gallbladder flush, what's supposed to happen. In other words, make the mechanistic, theoretical activity functional. So we're talking about skin. And skin needs oil. And oil doesn't get there if you don't have biliary patency. And you don't know how your skin is being affected by all these gallbladder flushes you're doing or enemas you're suffering through until you can say, doctor or self, I have been through enough and my skin feels oily again. There's function. So there's theory, there's rhetoric. I don't think anybody's listened to more rhetoric than I have over 20 years. Across multiple educations, all you do is sit there and listen to rhetoric. It's as if they design curriculums and create languages, and they insert 90% rhetoric and 10% what you can really use. And you know in your own professions that you've mastered it's the same way. So functionally speaking, yeah, gallbladder, oil, skin, key. But that means I'm asking you, the you I referred to at the beginning of the show, are you feeling oil now come to your skin that you didn't feel before? Because that oil means the skin is pulling the fats in, the essential fatty acids. The cell membranes of your body, including your skin, are going to dehydrate. They're going to get damaged from free radical activity. Nothing's more subject to this than the skin. I'll bet you, if we could look at the skin of the organs. Now, I don't know if this is true. I admit, I'm speculating. But I would speculate that the cell membranes of your organs suffer less than the membranes of your skin. I'll speculate and ask you to consider that it's intuitive, if you've listened, to understand that the cell membranes of your organ system suffer less than the cell membranes of your skin. Why? The rate of exposure of the skin to the free radical barrage is excessive because it's the skin. Not to mention, remember what I said, that the skin is going to receive the nutrition in that it's the outer layer, becomes more questionable. The microcirculation, like with what microcirculation are we referring to? Well, like the microcirculation that high sugar, insulin, diabetes destroys. Why do diabetics have skin problems? They get rashes, they get funguses, they get gangrene, because the circulation dies because high sugar. If you're living with high sugar, you're not diabetic necessarily. But if you're living with high blood sugar and you're just coping, and it's not been diagnosed for 20, 30, 40 years because it's not diabetes, meaning in the morning your blood sugar is under 90, even though all day it was up at 160. If you're living like that, and many of us are because we're carboholics, if that's the way you're living, you're destroying your microcirculation at all times. So you're not going to get the nutrition to the skin. and the skin, therefore, will not repair the free radical damage. So the skin's the periphery, problem one. Problem two, as the periphery, it's not just the outside that destroys the skin, but the stuff on the inside doesn't get to the skin because the skin is on the outside. This is why the skin, okay, kind of reflects the health of the body. Just took another leap there. It's because the skin is low priority. If the skin looks good, I'll bet you the organs look good. If the skin looks bad, well, the organs may not be as damaged. So the reverse you really can't draw much from. But if the skin is good, understand the skin is low priority. If you're 65 years old and your sexual function is strong and your skin is radiant, rest assured your organs are in good shape. Because the last place the body's going to put its priority is your sexual function at 65 and your skin. Your brain doesn't care about your sagging skin, nor does it care about your love life. Not at the cost of giving you what? Congestive heart failure, cancer, a heart attack, a stroke. Get that one. This is fun. This is fun. Sunlight. Sunlight. UV light on the skin. I get to the track there at 8 o'clock in the morning. These women, they've got sunglasses on, a bonnet, and a scarf. They look like something out of Chiller Theater. And they're walking around, and the sun is barely up. And I say to them, what's the get-up? Oh, well, I've got light white skin, and I don't want to get cancer. That's exactly how you get cancer. Do you understand the UV light through the pupil of the eye in the morning sun will not give you cataracts? It will not damage you, but your pupil will drink the sunlight. It will drink the sunlight. And that activates the brain. The pineal gland lives off the sunlight through the pupil of the eye. So because some article in Vanity Fair talked about sun and cancer? Where's the common sense here? 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., get an hour of sun. I said so. So do a lot of people. Don't worry about skin cancer in the early morning for 1 hour. If you're really going to be paranoid about it, go out at sunrise and spend an hour outside with as little clothing as is appropriate and let the sun bake your body. Bake it, yeah, after it's just barely risen. That's health. UV light is a disinfectant to the skin. UV light. You ever notice how fat people have all those moles and warts and skin tags? Fat people are the ones that get this because, sorry, gotta say it, under those rolls of fat, it's damp and moist and dark. So the terrain, the moisture grows the fungus. First thing you do with fat people is you get them in a spa, you put mud on their body, you get them to learn to dry brush, or you have somebody dry brush them on body parts they haven't been able to touch in years. And I do not mean the genitals. I mean like the back. Okay? The feet. When you're overweight, you can't touch your feet. And you get somebody to dry brush those areas with clay. And you do it in the sun. If you want to see a miracle, take someone who hasn't had interface with the sun and circulation to the peripheral areas of the body, meaning the skin, and ignite that with clay, with castor oil, with boar's head bristle brushes, organic brushes. Go buy them. Go online. Find them. Loofah, whatever you want. And scrub it until the skin comes to life. Start taking people and have them use the skin as exit portals, which is what the infrared saunas are about. Go buy one. You can get them. eBay, Craigslist. People buy them all the time. They spend the big dough. They spend the $3,000 or $4,000. They put them in the living room, and then they beat themselves over the head because it doesn't look like they thought, and they sell it at a fraction of the cost. It's like buying a car off the lot that's been used one time. The price plummets to nothing. Go find them. Put one in the house. They look like phone booths. Go into that thing with clay on the hands and the feet and the neck. Do it under supervision or use your common sense. And be a little more careful if you're very debilitated and weak. But the point is, if you get the skin to breathe, meaning the sunlight hits it and disinfects it, meaning you dry brush the skin, meaning you put the oils on the skin. Check Premier Research out for their line of oils. Ask the providers what oils are good for your skin. Definitely coconut oil. The Guatemalans. Look up Guatemala. The Guatemalans in the world, the finest skin. Any Guatemalan from Guatemala over the age of 90 still doesn't have wrinkles. The older women are famous for creating all sorts of oily mixtures, often using avocado to make sure that the oils from the avocado, from the different oils, just soak the skin, the coconuts. I mean, they're geniuses at this, and they've got the skin to show for it. If you're Irish, if you're English, if you're a northerner, living in California, stay out of the sun after 10 a.m. Your skin is not made for it. If you come from a damp, cold, moist climate like Ireland, like England, like Scotland, like Wales, like Scandinavia, and you've decided to be, or your daughter's decided to be, or your granddaughter's decided to be a beach bunny, understandable, right? It's understandable. Counsel them to get out of the sun after 10 a.m. Yes, that will produce cancer. Yes, your medical doctors, your dermatologists, your skin specialists, your oncologists are correct. Too much sun at the wrong time of day, 10 a.m. to 2, 3, 4 p.m., you're going to get hurt. Which doesn't mean in the cost-benefit analysis, if the only time you've got is a half-hour lunch break, get out there and let the skin soak the sun. Concept. Big concept now. Here's a concept. How do you know when you've had enough sun? How do you know? Because you can feel it. You can feel your skin drink the sun, and you can feel when you've had enough sun. Work that line. Work it. In sync with the biofields of the earth, you'll know when you've had enough sun. And you'll know out there midday when that 10 minutes or 20 minutes is not any, it's too much. Little tidbit, but listen to your body. Here's another one. You know that statistic that 10 minutes in the sun gives you 15,000 units of vitamin D, whatever that statistic is. I'm definitely not a statistic kind of guy. But whatever that statistic is, it doesn't fit reality. Because when you measure the vitamin D in people, all the times people are grossly deficient, 5, 10, 15, their D levels are horridly low. They all get 15, 20, half an hour of sun per day. Bernard Jensen nailed this a long time ago. He said, you can't use that concept, because once you get up in the morning, you go into the shower, you wash off the oils of the skin. You take out all the cholesterol. So when you hit the sun during the day, it's with very dried skin. And because it's dried, and because you're wearing your clothes, on both counts, you're not going to make any vitamin D. One, you don't have the cholesterol. And number two, half your body's covered. So keep that in mind. Watch those vitamin D levels and understand the skin very often is not absorbing the UV light in the sense of converting it to vitamin D because you've washed out all the cholesterol. You vegetarians, you wonderful people, with good intention, do you sag your skin? How many times I have seen the vegetarians, don't listen to me, do this for yourself. Go out to the vegetarian stores and just sample, do it for an afternoon. All these ardent vegetarians, protein deficiency, lack of animal protein, you will see the skin sag. I see this all the time in middle-aged vegetarian women. At middle age, one, your hormones thin. At middle age, two, your body starts to slow down metabolically. At middle age, three, lots of people start thinking about their health because they see people that 20 years older go down to disease, and so they start thinking about their health, and you see so many of them decide to take out animal protein because the China study said that it's bad and it creates cancer and heart disease. This is the kind of absolute nonsense I see all the time. It's all over up here in Malibu, down in Newport Beach. It's these people that are on top of it, so they think. And a year or two later, yeah, they've lost weight, and their skin is sagging. And then they go to the facelift or the collagen injections, and we're going to comment on that in a minute. But point is this. Understand, especially if you've hit middle age because you've lost your reserve by then, or you're losing your reserve, or you don't have the reserve that you did when you were 18 or 20 or 30. Mothers at 50 or 55, the hormones thin. You've had three or four kids. You've torn. You've gone cesarean. Your biofields are off. And now you've gone vegetarian to top it off. Watch out for that. The skin will sag. And you'll do every blessed solution under the sun. And you will not be satisfied. Be careful of animal protein deficiency. The other thing is fat deficiency. Even if your gallbladder can handle it, are you getting your fats? Fats. That means the oil from fish. It means olives. It means coconut oil. It means avocado. And yes, I understand this. You have an avocado a day, and you're very proud of yourself, and you should be. And everybody in California does this that knows anything about health. Well, it's not enough. It is not enough. You have to put oil on your skin to know that the essential fatty acid requirement of the skin is being satisfied. If you don't feel oil, it ain't there. There's a standard for you. Take that skin that was once dry, and a year or two later, stand up and cheer because your skin feels like it's breathing. Your skin feels like it's sweating. Your skin feels like it's oily. And your skin feels like it's got a tone to it that it didn't have before. Do that before you do your facelift. Which brings me, I guess, to the facelift. Now, don't get scared unless you've done one already. And even then, don't get scared. If you've done a facelift, you have definitely created an interference field. And you must apply the clays and the castor oils. But I'm going to take it a step further. Because it's not that simple. And I'll stand by that. Just because you apply clay and castor oil, there are other steps. And those steps include the sensation of circulation into the scar. The sensation of circulation into the scar as you remediate those scars, as you try to undo the damage that's been done with the facelift. Or the hair transplant. To get that skin and bone and ligament and fascia worked through stretching, through cleansing, through the use of topicals, whether it's clay or topical oils. The various ways that you bring a scar-ridden skin to life, especially in so critical a place as the feet or the hands, or in this case, the head, implies a initiation of life. You have to have a visceral experience of something in your head come to life, like the flow of circulation, the shift of posture, the sharpening of the mind, some inner visceral. Underline the word visceral in boldface print. Visceral meaning a gut level connection to the process whereby your head, your brain, comes to life. So undoing the damage from the facelift, you better use the clay, the magma. But there's more to do. And honestly, if you understand that the summation of all the stretching and all the cleansing and all the massage and all the topical work you do are supposed to be measured in efficacy, you're supposed to know whether you've gotten the return on all of these investments, in the case of a facelift, by feeling that the life, the circulation, the warmth of that area has come to life. A facelift merely pulls the skin tight. If the inside of the body isn't being worked, nutritionally and otherwise, the skin will sag grossly anyway because so many other things are not being done. If you get collagen injections, aspects of your skin will resolve to the collagen, but the other parts of your skin will sag behind the efficacy of the collagen injections. Facelifts only hit part of the story. Collagen injections only hit part of the story. The other dynamics that build structure within the skin after a facelift and build the skin after collagen injections need to be honored, and if they're not, you create monstrosities. You see? There's an imbalance. It's like fixing a car that needs a tune-up. Instead, you just keep changing the tires. You're putting your money in the wrong place if you don't combine whatever you've done in terms of a facelift with other aspects. Not to mention, you've got to remediate the problem with the facelift, which is, and check my shows, that the facelift is going to pull the fascia in the head, and that's going to collapse the cranial bones, and it's going to depress the vibration of the hypothalamus into the pituitary. I see this happen all the time with people. All the time. Okay. The facelift you want. This is the facelift you want. The facelift you want so that your skin doesn't sag defines the essence of holistic medicine. The big payoff in holistic medicine, the very thing you're so passionately attracted to, as am I, is the great facelift. Every dime you've ever spent on every herb, every dime you've ever spent on anything in holistic medicine is supposed to be filtering and climaxing with the great facelift. Because why the skin sags is as much, if not more, because the bones shift position and because the bones leach mineral, the bones of the face, the bite. And the frame around which we hang the skin begins to narrow, drop, and disappear. The bones of the face, the bones of the skull. The body put a system in place to turn that around. The body put a system in place to slow that process down. Forget about the skin. If you take the bone structure you had when you were 20, and you look at the bone structure of the face that you have when you're 80, the bones have thinned. The bones have changed position. The bones are locked. Locked, glued together, scarred together in ways that didn't exist when you were 20. And the very essence of holistic medicine is to put you through the process through which the cranial rhythms open. The joints connecting the zygoma to the maxilla, to the ethmoid, to the sphenoid, to the occiput, to the temporal bone, to the parietal, to the frontal, to the lacrimal. The process through which those bones fuse and degenerate your hormonal system and age you prematurely and faster than you're supposed to age can be remediated and turned around if you get the essences and the true integration of holistic medicine, something that you're not really getting. It's something that the culture isn't really understanding how to integrate at this point, but it's there and it's real. And we need to bring this, in a sense, to the alternatives. And those alternatives are facelifts and cloning and genetic engineering and all the things that we're going to do. But at the same time, we're overlooking the essence of the very investment you're so interested in. I'll leave you with that. You think about that this week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. You're going to need to hear this show again, straighttalk.cc. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.